The gospel lesson that we just heard is one of only a handful of gospel lessons that appear in all four gospels. For it to be in all four gospels indicates that the turning over of the tables in the temple was an important event in the life of Jesus. There are some differences in words and placement of the passage between the John version and the other three versions. But one thing is clear about the lesson in all four gospels, and that is that Jesus was not pleased with what was going on in the temple. Things were not right. There was a required temple tax in those days. It was necessary that all would pay the tax so that the temple sacrifices and the temple ritual might be carried on day by day. The tax had to be paid in Galilean shekels or in shekels of the sanctuary, which required that people with other currencies change them over. And they had to go to the money changers to do this. If the money changers' trade had been straightforward, they would have been fulfilling an honest and necessary purpose. The problem was the money changers were charging excessive amounts to change the money over. Same sort of situation was happening with the selling of the cattle and the sheep and the doves. What enraged Jesus was that the pilgrims that had traveled from near and from very far, who could not afford it, were being scammed at an exorbitant rate. It was an unbridled injustice, and even worse, it was being done in the name of religion. We heard in our first reading this morning from Genesis the reading of the Ten Commandments. Those commandments given by God through Moses out of the love of God for God's people had by Jesus' day been made into over 600 laws and commandments. And while religious leaders questioned whether Jesus was trying to abolish the law of Moses, Jesus replies, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Now Jesus does the same with the whole temple system. In order to fulfill God's will, Jesus overturns the old edifice and erects something new. He is building a new temple out of his words and deeds. The old temple was where, according to one of those 600 plus laws, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Now, however, the blind and the lame came to God's very own Son, the Messiah, right there at the temple. And what did Jesus do? He cured them. So really, in the end, what we see here with the fulfilling of the law and the changing of the temple system is once again how God's love for God's people is poured out, and this time not through the commandments of God spoken through Moses, but through Jesus, God's very own Son. After now having been through a year of the pandemic, I have learned many things. But I think the most important thing that I've learned is that connection matters. Connection to God and connection to other people really matters. I have realized that relationships are what matter most in life, not titles or moving up the ladder or being published or getting a doctorate. Of course, all these things are important. But to me, what matters most in life is having loving relationships. People responding to people with the love shown to us through Christ. I have mentioned this before, but thought it worth mentioning again at this time. One of my very favorite quotes is a quote from Dr. Seuss, of all people. I really believe there is a theological meaning to this quote. The quote goes like this: "Today you are you, that's truer than true. There is no one alive that is youer than you." This time when I thought about this quote, I thought about the theme of connection And I put it together with the quote, "There is no one youer than you." When you put the two together, I believe you get right down to the meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each one of us on this earth is made uniquely by God. As Dr. Seuss said, there is no one youer than you. While at the same time being made in the image of God, and to share ourselves with others while remaining connected to God is exactly the commandment Christ came to live out and fulfill, to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. There is yet another point to be made from this turning over of the table's gospel lesson, and that comes from the last lines we heard this morning. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. With Jesus on the scene, the one who embodies abundance, there is no need for changing money in order to purchase animals to make a sacrifice at the altar of God, at all or ever again. Jesus did that for us when he sacrificed his life on a cross. Also keep in mind that this gospel was written by John after the fall of the temple to people who were likely expelled from their local synagogue, and they needed to hear that they did not need the temple in order to have God's love surrounding them, wherever they were. Jesus introduces us to the parental heart of God, the one who makes the unknowable God knowable and approachable, then, ever since, and still today. And with that comes a promise that God is with us always and everywhere, in the company of loved ones or desperately alone, in times of joy and times of sadness, when outdoors or at home, or in church, or running errands, and even on Zoom and our computer screens. In all these places and more, God is present, working always to comfort, encourage, strengthen, heal, restore, and send. Does that mean we don't need these beautiful church buildings? No, I don't think that is the point. For the church is somewhere we come to recharge, to connect with people and with God. And God knows, after this last year, that that is so important to us. However, what it means and what we have also learned ever after this last year is that God is with us, no matter where we are or what we are doing. This gospel lesson illustrates to us that through Christ, we see what God's love on a human level truly means. And our acceptance of that love radically transforms us into new life, whether it be an instant, over time, or both, wherever we may be. It is the essence of God's promise to be with us wherever we are, and God's love for us shown through Christ that makes it possible for us to face our fears, feed the hungry, and forgive our enemies. It is this transforming promise that permits us to acknowledge our weaknesses, just as the collect for today says, "Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. We can only help ourselves with God's amazing love and promise." It is this love that permits us to accentuate our God-given gifts and to accept love in return. Thanks be to God.